Welcome to Canada Conversations, part of Delaware Debates 2020, produced by Delaware Public Media in collaboration with the University of Delaware's Center for Political Communication. I'm Delaware Public Media News Director Tom Byrne. This conversation focuses on the race for governor, and we are joined by Republican candidate Colin Bonini. Thanks for joining us, Colin.
Oh, yeah. Thanks so much for having me.
So let's start with what prompted you to decide to make another run for governor?
Delaware's got to change. I mean, we are just heading in the wrong direction in so many ways. And, you know, whether you look at our economy, whether you look at how we're responding to COVID, whether you look at, a lot of our public education system, crime specifically in Wilmington, I mean, regardless of what criteria you look at, I would argue we're moving in the wrong direction. And similar, we've had these conversations over the years. We've got to change direction, and I'm confident that I can do that. We need to be much more business friendly. We need to be looking at improving our schools, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. The reality is that even prior to COVID, Delaware had one of the worst economies in the region, perhaps in the country, depending on how you look at it. And like I said, issue after issue after issue, Delaware needs to move in a different direction.
The governor's office is the office of the state's chief executive. Talk to us a little bit about your leadership style. What would you bring as a leader, style-wise, to the governor's office?
So that's a good question. And I will tell you, a lot of folks are like, well, I would argue that some of the issues that we have is maybe too much consensus building. And I'm sorry if that sounds harsh, but sometimes you just got to take the flag and go and say, follow me. And I think I'm more that kind of guy. And quite frankly, I think that's where Delaware is. We face these really, really incredibly difficult challenges, and we need strong leadership. We need someone who said, look, this is what we're going to do, and this is how we're going to do it, and this is how we're going to get there. And quite frankly, some people are going to be upset with that, especially some of these, long entrenched interests. But I think, I am a strong follow me leader. Doesn't mean that I'm not, I've had a long private sector experience, as you know. Doesn't mean that I'm not willing to listen to people. I absolutely, do that. But I'm a decision maker. And I think, quite frankly, that's what Delaware needs. And it's a very interesting conversation, because I'm glad you brought it up, because I actually think leadership style is a significant portion of what we're talking about versus, the issues. Of course, we talk specifically about issues and what those solutions are. But I think you're right. It's about how to get it done. And so I'm pretty confident that I could lead us in the right direction.
This takes me right into the first kind of issue I want to talk about, which is the response to COVID-19. And since March, the governor's office has largely managed the response by
Correct.
The state
yep.
to by executive order. So how would you rate how Governor Carney has done under that kind of model? And are there one or two things specifically you might have done differently if it was you providing the leadership in that situation?
So I think we would, first of all, I'd say absolutely, I think we probably done things differently. I would also say that it's a little unfair to be Monday morning quarterback, right? I want to say that, but I think I would absolutely have done things differently. I would argue that we've had sort of the worst of both worlds, where we still have reasonably high infection rates. We still are quarantined by other states. Lots of criteria to look at and say, well, the virus itself is not going well in Delaware. But at the same time, we have devastated our economy. I don't think there's any question that the government shutdowns in the state of Delaware have been devastating, especially to specific industries like hospitality, restaurants, et cetera. And I know that's a strong word, Tom, but that is the absolute right word. I can't tell you how many restaurants are simply not going to reopen. And I know hotel owners who are barely hanging on. And regardless of what you look at, whatever industry is, they're all hurting. Plus the fact that the state sort of was picking winners and losers. And I think just philosophically, that just really, really bothers me. And, the classic example, of course, is they shut down, garden stores, right? You can't go to your local garden store and pick up the seeds and do your flowers or whatever it is you want to do. But the garden store at Walmart is open, right? What kind of policy is that? And I'm not making this up. This is not from Monty Python, even though it may sound like it. I think we had a policy that said you could play play doubles tennis, but not singles tennis. This is ridiculous, right? So I would argue that we unfortunately have had the worst of both worlds, where the virus is still a significant problem in Delaware, but our economy has just been absolutely devastated. I think the current administration looks at the situation with COVID and says, we need to shut everything down unless you can prove to me, you can prove to the government why you should be open. I think that's 180 degrees the wrong way to look at it. I think we need to be looking at it and say, look, you need to be open. You need to be running your business. You need to be chasing your dreams. You need to be educating your children. Unless we, the government, can prove to you that your common sense safeguards don't work and we need to shut you down. And I actually think, I know that may sound semantics, but I actually think it's a very different philosophy. And I think my philosophy would be the latter one that says, look, you need to be open unless we can prove that that you should close.
With that kind of approach in mind, if there is no widely available vaccine or significant advancements in treatment between now and January, when, if you win, you would take office, what would you be looking to do then day one to manage the situation going forward?
So I think a part of it is, and we talked about leadership style, part of it is we need to have some private sector folks involved in this. And you know, as you know, it's a very difficult job. And again, a Monday morning quarterback, easy to do. But I will tell you that I don't think the decision makers, that private sector input is just not happening in the decision making process currently. So one of the first things I would do is say, hey, we need to get the people who are out there running businesses, you know, and get their perspective on how things are working out there, what safeguards work, what safeguards don't work, you know, et cetera. So I think philosophically be very different, say we need to be opening if at all possible. And you need to prove to us why we need to prove you why you shouldn't be open. So I think, and again, Tom, you just never really know, but I think under, you know, my leadership as governor, I think we'd have a dramatically more businesses open. I think we would have more access to things. And I think we would be on a much stronger trajectory economically than we currently are.
You said earlier that you felt the economy has been devastated by
Yes.
what's happened during COVID and the response to it. Even when the pandemic subsides, I mean, likely we're going to see a continued recession both here and nationwide. As you mentioned, some industries, particularly retail and restaurants, Yep. are not likely to fully recover. As governor, what would your priorities be, kind of looking maybe a little bit more long-term, to getting the economy back on track and creating jobs for people who may not have jobs to go back to?
Yeah. So first of all, it's an excellent point. And in my sort of, in our initial conversation, Delaware was hurting prior to COVID. I think, you know, people say, oh, it's COVID specifically. What do we do? That's true. And it's absolutely a priority. There's no question about it. But we were hurting prior. I mean, I think we're one of two states in the country that had an increase in poverty for children, or maybe poverty overall. I know there were some quarters where we were one of the few states in the country that was actually had negative growth, despite the fact that the economy was booming all over the place. I actually a little bit disagree with the premise. I think if we can get past COVID and we can get a state government that creates incentives for businesses, you know, we are currently a high tax, high labor cost, high regulation, high utility cost state. Tom, we've talked about this over the years, right? All of those things are, in my opinion, fixable, and I think the governor can lead the charge on fixing those things. And if we address those, I actually think we will come out of this better off than when we started. I think, more to your point, which I think is an excellent point, is whatever relief comes from the federal government, we need to make darn sure that relief gets to those employers and employees that you referred to, especially those restaurants, all these folks who are hurting. What I'm particularly afraid of is that whatever relief package comes from Washington is simply going to get absorbed into the state government. And it's critically important, in my opinion, that relief gets directly to the employers.
I want to move on to something else now, yeah. And that is that Delaware, like other states, has seen protests throughout the spring and summer focused on issues surrounding racial equity.
Yep.
You're in the General Assembly, so you know well that the General Assembly did pass the first leg of a constitutional amendment addressing discrimination and also passed a ban on police use of chokeholds.
Sure.
There are a number of other bills that have been proposed that will likely be coming up when, presumably, the General Assembly reassembles.
Yes, if we ever do, yeah, the General Assembly actually assembles, right?
So the basic question is, based on what you would like to do, what would the priorities be in addressing issues of racial equity in a Bonini administration?
So I'm, first of all, Tom, I'm glad you brought that up because, you know, I'll just be very clear, I'm a white guy, right? And I'm a conservative Republican white guy, right? So you may not say, well, okay, how could, what do you possibly know? And I have obviously no experience and have no idea what it's like to be an African-American in Delaware in America, and will never be able to understand that. I think folks say, oh, I understand. That's not true. You don't understand, and I will never understand. But I will tell you that African-Americans in Delaware are not doing as well as they should. That is the understatement of all time. And I think we need to focus on those basic core quality of life issues. I think those other issues that you referred to are very important, and I think those we should have ongoing discussions about that, and I think those things are very important. But if you, just to throw some statistics around, I think, and maybe a few percentages off, Tom, so I apologize, but I think something like 13 or 15 or maybe it's 17% of African-American eighth graders read at grade level. I pause there for a minute because I want you to think about that, right? I mean, 80%+ of African-American students aren't reading at grade level, let alone exceeding, right? We have gosh knows how many murders now and violence in Wilmington. I don't even know what that number is. It's because there's literally almost a new one every day, right? And if we look at unemployment, African Americans have a much higher rate of unemployment. I mean, regardless of what you look at, these basic core issues, economic opportunity, education, crime and safety, those things, we need to address those things. And I'm confident that we can. And in fact, I am probably in September, hopefully after I win the primary, knock on wood, Tom, hopefully after I win the primary, but I'm going to put together, and we're very bluntly calling it, an agenda for African Americans in Delaware. And we're going to highlight some of these very specific needs. And I think the state government has a role to play in fixing those things. And so I think quality of life issues for African Americans needs to be a priority, regardless of who's in the governor's office. And I'm confident that we can actually help.
But a number of the people who are protesting are looking maybe at some other issues besides those quality of life issues that you are. Sure. And one of the ones that maybe hasn't gotten a lot of push here in Delaware is this idea of defunding the police. I mean, really the closest thing I think we've seen here in Delaware to that has been some questions about the use of student resource officers in schools. And even that really hasn't gained very much traction.
Sure.
But what we are hearing about is law enforcement officers' Bill of Rights, use of force policies. These are some of the key things that those who are protesting are asking about in the state. And my question is, would you back efforts to revisit those things, use of force policies and the officer's Bill of Rights, and look for possible changes there?
Yeah, so let me just be very clear on one point. I do not support defunding the police. I think that's a crazy idea. And I think, quite frankly, the fallout of that attitude, if you will, is what we're seeing in Wilmington. I mean, crime is going up all over the country in places where the police have pulled back. Just to be clear, right? And everyone deserves to be safe in their communities, right? So I do absolutely 100% do not support defunding the police. Do I think we should be looking at those issues? Absolutely, we should. Tom, I'm a conservative. I don't trust the government at all, right? We've had this discussion before, and should we be looking at what the proper oversight roles are for police and all those things? Absolutely. Those are very important everyday conversations that we should have in government, quite frankly, regardless of whether there's crises out there or not, we should have those conversations. But I am convinced that we can, at least here in Delaware, we can really help the police and those communities at risk, which is where mostly we're talking about. I think we can come together. I think, if we talked about those quality of life issues, I think working with our police leadership, working with those communities and addressing those quality of life issues, then I think you start to make progress across the board. But I do not believe in defunding the police. And I think, quite frankly, a lot of these communities are paying the price for that philosophy.
You brought up education earlier.
Yep.
The issue of education funding is also one certainly the next governor is going to have to deal with.
I think the court's going to force us to do stuff
Where I'm going. Chancery Court has already ruled that the property tax assessment system used by the counties is unconstitutional, so that could mean reassessment is coming. The second half of the lawsuit is still pending, looking at the core inequities that are being asked about in the state education funding system. What do you feel needs to be done with the way Delaware funds education?
Yeah, funds education. So first of all, I I don't agree with the lawsuit. I don't think we want unelected chancery court folks making education policy for us, even though, by the way, it's a very sharp guy. I know him. Good guy. I don't remember seeing him at the election, right? He wasn't I think, and we don't want to start the precedent of having courts make those decisions for us. It just never works well. This may surprise you a little, Tom, as a strong fiscal conservative, you know me over the years. There is no question in my mind that we have to spend more resources in higher risk schools, period. You just do. There's just all the data shows that kids in these more difficult situations and these higher risk schools need more resources. It's just and I think we need to do that. In fact, when we talked about that agenda for African Americans in Delaware, I'm going to highlight those specifics on what I think those results are. I do not think that we should let the court make that decision for us. I am quite frankly very concerned that some of my colleagues kind of hope, maybe not, you know, publicly, but I think they kind of hope to have their hands forced by the court, say, oh, the court did this. But you know, one of the great things about Delaware is our low property taxes. And if the court comes in and says you got to restructure property taxes to pay for local education, our low property taxes go out the window. And quite frankly, a lot of our economy is based on those low property taxes because people come move here and we build houses, et cetera. So, but if the question is, do we need to spend more resources in the high risk schools? The answer is absolutely yes, we do. But Tom, we don't have a funding problem, in my opinion, in Delaware. I mean, I think we're top 10, I think sometimes high as 5 or 6, 3 or 4 spending per pupil in the entire country. So there's a lot of money in the system. The question is getting that money to the places that it's most needed. And again, I know I'm repeating myself from previous times we've talked, but it's very frustrating as a senator, and it's very frustrating because we have some fantastic schools and lots of great teachers, and literally 25 minutes away from that great school is a school that's struggling, and the overwhelming majority of the kids are being failed. So, but I do think that we can fix things. I do think we need to put together a plan that brings more resources to those at-risk schools, and I think we can fix it. I really do.
I do want to hit a couple of other issues that were expected to see debate during this past legislative session, but did not because the pandemic really limited what was considered. And just get a kind of quick response from you. The first one would be reinstating the death penalty.
Yeah, so I support reinstating the death penalty for those very significant heinous crimes.
Is there any limitations you would see on it?
I think it would have to be for those very, you know, very serious murder, rape, those incredibly serious crimes. And of course, we can debate what that means, but I do support the death penalty. Now, let me tell you, I'm pro-life and Roman Catholic, so this is not an easy decision for me. But I will tell you, you know, if somebody shoots up a school, that person needs to be, you know, and was conscious about doing it, that person needs to face the ultimate punishment. So I do support reinstating the death penalty.
Legalizing recreational marijuana.
So I do believe we should legalize marijuana, and I will tell you that some of my Republican colleagues don't like to hear that, but let me tell you why. I think we already have. We have quote-unquote decriminalized marijuana, and I go and speak to schools, and I went and asked a high school class. I asked them two questions. I said, who thinks marijuana is legal in Delaware? Almost all their hands went up. And then I asked, how many of you know the difference between decriminalized and legal? And not a single hand went up. So I would tell for those folks who are opposed, which I completely understand, that in some sense we've already lost that fight. And my biggest concern is I don't want young people getting access and using. And I think the best way to do that is to restrict it to adults, regulate it, and have us really restrict access to it. And if you're 21 years of age or older and in your own private home, then I think we should absolutely allow you to do that. But I think in some sense, we've already lost that fight, so we should do it the best way we can. If we're going to do it, let's do it right. And right now, I think, again, it's sort of the worst of both worlds, where it's technically still illegal, but nobody really believes it's illegal. And we end up with, you know, enforcement issues, et cetera. I think we should legalize it for people over 21 in their own homes and regulate it so that we have some control over it.
And I want to talk finally about gun bills. During this past session, they ranged from ghost guns and high-capacity magazines to an assault weapons ban and some kind of permit system. Are there any of those things that you would be supportive of?
No, because the reality is legal guns and legal gun owners are not the issue. Of all the terrible violence that's happening in Wilmington, Tom, I'll buy you lunch if any of those guns were legally purchased or were used by the legal owner. I will guarantee you none of those guns were used by the legal owner. And law-abiding citizens who are exercising their Second Amendment rights are not the problem. The problem are criminals with guns, and I think we unfortunately have gone the wrong way. I think we need to look at significantly increasing the penalty for usage of firearms during commissions of crime. I think that's the answer.
And finally, is there an issue you feel is not getting the attention it deserves in this election cycle, and how would you address it if elected?
So, I mean, I think the overall... The issue is Delaware. I'm sorry to be said, but again, we have some great public schools, but whether it's our, performance of those high risk public schools, whether it's our economy, whether it's safety in Wilmington and other communities. I mean, I think all of this stuff isn't on people's radar as much as I'd like it to be because of COVID. Hate Trump, love Trump, hate Trump, love Trump. I mean, that's just sort of, COVID. It's difficult. But the reality is that Delaware has a lot of fixable issues. And the theme of my campaign this year, Tom, is we can fix this. And quite frankly, I think a lot of those sort of base quality of life issues, I wish they were more talked about every day, because I think if we can bring focus on those, that we can address them, then we can fix them, and we can really, really help people. And just, I like to throw on statistics, as you know, but statistics are people, right? And whether it's poverty, whether it's crime, whether it's, wages, whatever it is, there are people in Delaware who are suffering that I think we can help. And I wish that more of the conversation was about how to help those people.
Colin Bedini, Republican candidate for governor. We thank you for your time. Thanks for joining us on Candidate Conversations.
Thanks again. Thanks so much.
You can find all of our candidate conversations online at DelawarePublic.org and DelawareDebates.org. Candidate Conversations are part of Delaware Debates 2020, produced by Delaware Public Media in collaboration with the University of Delaware's Center for Political Communication. I'm Delaware Public Media News Director Tom Byrne. Thank you for listening.